Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream is a total chocolate game changer. We start with unbelievably creamy dark chocolate ice cream. Then we add different chocolate treats, like chocolate cookies, chocolate cake, or chocolate brownies, to make four decadent chocolate flavors. Because sometimes the thing that pairs best with chocolate is more chocolate. Tillamook Chocolate Collection ice cream. Extraordinary dairy.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, everybody. Happy Friday. It is May 31st, and we have WWE SmackDown to talk about. I'm Diddy Salcedo, and as always, joining me each and every single Friday, we got Robin Lundberg. Robin, what is up?
What is up? I'm not retiring, Denise. No swerve. I am not retiring. I am going strong.
Oh my God. Well, good for you, because I'm broken. I'm so freaking depressed today. And I was just telling Robin off the air, guys, that I have never been more bummed out. I feel bad, actually, Robin, because you walked into the stream and you were all happy. You were like highest of spirits. And I was like, no, not today. I'm feeling so down. Long story short, guys, I broke my camera, my fancy freaking DSLR that costs like $3,000, broke it while I was watching SmackDown because I accidentally kicked it. It fell smack on the concrete floor and just like exploded in my face. I mean, I feel so depressed, Robin.
You know, Denise,
I can't bounce back.
You have a way of saying things in the most awkward way possible sometimes. The camera exploded in your face.
My dreams, everything, it's just done.
If it makes you feel any better, I mean, I can't even have. But like, this has probably been the hardest year of my life for a number of reasons, but I'm here with a smile on my face. You'll get a new camera.
I already did. So I just ordered one right now. I had to charge it to my credit card, and I'm so pissed off right now. Like, but what's worse is that I can't blame anybody else. Like, I can't blame anybody. You know who I have to blame? Myself. And that's the worst part. Like, this was so preventable. So anyways, honestly, that was like the thing that just had me. But either way, I was focused trying to watch SmackDown, and we got some interesting stuff that happened today. So I'm sorry if I bummed everybody out today, brought the mood down, Robin. I'll try to get the mood back up.
It's okay. I mean, like, there's nothing you can do about it now, right?
No, there's not. And I panicked, and I already ordered another camera. And like I said, I just charged it to the credit card. And I'm like, all right, at some point, it'll be okay. But anyways, I'm here. Gotta work. Let's do this. Let's talk about SmackDown. I'm gonna kick things off with some super chats here. We got Sheldon Jackson, who gifted 5 DWO memberships. Sheldon, thank you so freaking much. We got Steven here, who says we have Ben Mark Henry again. I love it. We have Brandon Rosen, who says I got a lot left in the tank. Quotation marks. Kevin Zwicker says, hey guys, AJ seems too nice for me to boo him. I agree. AJ Styles looks like a very nice guy. We got Lucky Charm says, since you took Monday night off, what was your first reaction to the kiss? The Liv Morgan Dominic Mysterio kiss, I thought, was like one of the worst kisses I've ever seen in my life, Robin, because Liv Morgan looked like she was eating his face but also hurting him, and Dominic Mysterio just did not look like he enjoyed that at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, but awkward is what they're going. I think that's the hottest angle in WWE right now, really, all things considered. And it was what Rhea Ripley really needed. Like, as dominant as her title reign was, she didn't have that elongated feud. And it's almost ironic that she's getting it in her absence. But there are so many different layers, obviously, with the Dominic aspect, where he's going to go it's going to make her pop crazy when she returns. And I think it's elevated Liv Morgan to a status she's never reached before. So that's my reaction.
Oh, I know. I'm sure the story is going to be good because it's going to be scandalous. I mean, it's already scandalous with the freaking makeout session. But yeah, when I was seeing it, like the kiss itself, I was like, oh, that looks brutal. It looks like a very brutal kiss. We got Sheldon Jackson here who says, I think Mia is now officially out of the OC because I think AJ and the Good Brothers had been talking off screen for a while and just not including her in the discussions. It's really weird, the whole situation with the OC, and we're going to dive right into that and what went down, because the big topic for today is AJ Styles. And they found a way, Robin, I think, to sort of make this feud between Cody and AJ Styles interesting, because we're seeing a continuation of it based off of the events that occurred today. So here's what went down. Let's get right to it. So they had been promoting that AJ Styles was going to be making an announcement regarding his future, and they really hyped it up the entire night to make you think that AJ Styles was going to retire. This is my pet peeve about WWE sometimes, that they tend to do things that give away the finish or the story that they're trying to tell. They overdo it without realizing that they're giving away the finish or they're giving away what's going to happen. So they try to make you think, oh, AJ Styles is going to retire, right? So because they spoke about it the whole freaking night, I don't know that people actually felt, at least I didn't fall for it. And maybe it's because I already know it's a thing that they do when they, it's almost like, you know, you've seen it in matches when they're like, oh, this is their chance. This is this person's chance to become champion. They're gonna do it. They're gonna do it. The person tries to do it and it's a two count. So it's like they always give it away. And so I think the fact that they like talked about it too much did not allow me to fall for the swerve. And the swerve was AJ Styles basically was not retiring, and he ended up attacking Cody Rhodes, and Cody Rhodes goes out there, falls for the whole saying goodbye to AJ Styles situation. LA Knight falls for it backstage, and so they set up the scene. But AJ Styles ends up attacking Cody Rhodes after this and does a killer Styles clash off of the freaking steel step. So that was cool. But because they talked about it the whole night, I didn't fall for it.
Yeah, it was on the nose. I mean, it was probably purposefully in a sense. I mean, look, it came out of nowhere. It's not like this was a build, but this is the AJ Styles story, which is interesting to me. Because to be honest, Cody's kind of a putz sometimes. He gives up his spot to The Rock. Then he signs away the contract to Logan Paul. And now he's coming out like to obviously be double-crossed by AJ Styles.
Because he's a nice guy, and nice guys tend to fall for things.
But what I like about it is the AJ angle and it being an AJ story going back to last week on SmackDown. I said that was my favorite part of last week's show, that angle with him and Nick Aldis, where he asked for the rematch and Aldis said no. So why would he go from that to retiring the next week? Instead, it opened up desperation. This is a man who is now desperate because he knows that the clock is ticking on his career. So what does he do? He resorts to these sort of dastardly tactics to get himself back into the main event. So I thought that actually really worked. And I agree with you. It gives more of a story to Cody's next match. My only issue with it is not going to be in the build, not going to be in the way that they did it today. But what happens after AJ loses again to Cody Rhodes?
Then he's really going to retire. He's going to be like, all right, I'm done. That's it. I did it. I tried. I tried. I'm done.
There's a lot of sacrifice. I mean, I guess he's doing what's good for business.
Or maybe he doesn't, Robin. Maybe he doesn't lose to Cody Rhodes. Maybe he defeats Cody Rhodes.
And wins the title.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I'm just throwing that out there. What? How likely is that scenario, do you think?
Maybe like a 1% chance.
No way. That's got to be higher than a 1%.
I don't know. I just don't think they're taking the title off of Cody for AJ at this point and this phase. What's better about this to me is it gives you a genuine build. It gives you a genuine feud. It gives you a genuine angle versus here's a match. We like both these guys. It'll be a good match. That was the last time around. This time around, there's at least a reason to care about the match. But no, I do not think the result of the match is in doubt, even with the seeds that were planted in other segments in this show tonight. You know, the Bloodline segment where Paul Heyman's talking to Solo and says something about getting Cody under control. And Solo says, don't worry, we already have him under control. And then Paul Heyman says, who is we? But they're referencing Cody Rhodes there. So, unfortunately, I don't think there's much suspense as to the outcome of the rematch between Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles, but at least the build toward it this time will be more interesting. But it's funny because it's the AJ story. It's not the Cody story, right? Like, they're building it off of AJ Styles, not off Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, it's definitely the AJ Styles story in terms of can he get his hands on the championship before his time is legitimately up. But yeah, because I remember like us talking about this and, you know, heading into the match itself between AJ Styles and Cody. And it was a situation of like, oh yeah, we're looking forward to the match. We know it's going to be good, but the story really isn't there. So I do like the way that this whole thing played out, because on one hand you had AJ Styles, you know, sort of acting a little too nice. Right, he comes in there, he does the soft-spoken voice, you know, he's trying to level with Nick Aldis, and Nick Aldis has got to be pissed too, because he trusted the guy. It seemed like they had like a little man-to-man understanding that, hey, you know what, you go have your time out there, you go say what you need to say. And he's out there with a little suit and everything, and then he swerves everybody. I mean, that was great stuff. But I do think this is something that was definitely needed, because even just watching throughout the entire show, there are not very many stories on SmackDown. They've started to really, you know, steer the ship in the direction of building some stories for a lot more of the talent on the show, and we'll talk about that later. But I feel like even before that, like, there really wasn't that much, and right now we're finally starting to get some stories going. Like, there's at least two new feuds today that are going to basically blossom coming out of what we saw today on SmackDown. But I think this was a huge this AJ Styles, Cody Rhodes thing, I think was a huge win, because at least now there's a reason to be angry, right? Like, there's a reason, like, Cody Rhodes should be angry at what AJ Styles did, because now you can't trust the guy. You can't see a level. You can't level with him. He's not trustable.
Yeah, I think Cody has to be angry for this to work, because what's the rationale for Nick Aldis to give AJ Styles another title shot? Like, he went to him, pleaded for him. He said no. He's going to say yes because you double-crossed him and attacked Cody Rhodes and tricked him in this case. So I think it has to almost work where Nick Aldis is like, sorry, AJ, that's not going to give you the title. But Cody's so pissed off that he says, no, forget about it. Give him the chance. I want AJ Styles right now. And we've been searching for that with Cody. I still think, you know, what is the Cody side of it? I mean, other than he got attacked, like, that's part of it that I still think is missing a little bit. Him on the mic, him, you know, articulating those points of views, because again, it has come from the face of, or I'm going to give you the title shot, Logan, I'm going to give you the title shot with no belt, and then AJ, I'm going to celebrate with you while you're surely going to clothesline me. I mean, I'm watching with my son Raj, I'm like, Raj, AJ is about to attack Cody, be ready for it. And there it comes, and you got, like, you know, those Cody Rhodes, we got to get a collection at some point, a collage of those Cody Rhodes, like, earnest faces or puppy dog faces.
I know. It was funny too, because I was like, okay, AJ Styles is out here trying to tell us that he's, you know, quote unquote retiring, that he's done, right? But he doesn't have like he's not tearing up. He's not doing any of that. And it's funny because then Cody Rhodes, like, he's not the one that's leaving, but he's like, you know, already ready to cry and shit. The only person crying during that actual segment, by the way, was me. I was the one crying. For different reasons, but whatever. Oh, man. We got some super chats in here. Let's go. Let's see what people are saying. Let's see. This is from Sheldon Jackson, who says, streak update, 15 shows away from 100, but it might end next week due to a work conference in Cali, but fingers crossed it'll reach that magical number of 100 straight streams with a gifted membership. Sheldon, thank you so freaking much, man. You're freaking awesome. Seriously. We got Tunde Ud, who says, hey guys, so which match will be the main event at Clash at the Castle? Priest versus Drew, hometown hero, or AJ versus Cody? I would say Priest versus Drew.
Yeah, well, that's interesting too, because I'm not so sure Drew's winning that match.
I'm not so sure either. I painted out a couple of different scenarios of what might possibly happen when I did my whole King and Queen of the Ring review, which you guys can find here. But it doesn't feel so straightforward, does it?
No, because it doesn't make sense for Gunther to go against Drew after all this Drew CM Punk build. That doesn't make sense. So if we think, if we're working under the assumption that Gunther's winning it, which I'm working under that assumption, to me, he's taking the title off of Priest. They're going to screw Drew somehow again in his hometown to help, or, you know, at home to help build his character arc and everything like that. Because eventually the money match there and the one that they've been building for how many months now is Punk and Drew. So when you initially saw Clash of the Castle, you think, okay, you know, this is Drew's coronation moment. I don't think so.
Because I think for SummerSlam, just based off of what we're seeing right now, I have a feeling it's going to be Gunther versus Priest to win the title. And I'm hoping that by then CM Punk is good to go and it's CM Punk and Drew at SummerSlam. And in order for that, for those two scenarios to happen, then that would mean that Damian Priest defeats Drew McIntyre at Clash at the Castle. Because then if Drew wins, it sort of throws everything into a loop, right? All of a sudden, you're going to see Drew versus Gunther, and you're like, well, you wouldn't mind that. It doesn't necessarily make too much sense. I think the other scenario of having Damian Priest defeat Drew, even though I don't want to see Drew lose at the Clash at the Castle, I hate that he's going to have to lose, but just for the sake of the story and this playing out for the next couple of months, it feels like Damian Priest has to win there.
Yeah, this is, but it's better than the last time around, because if I'm being real with you, like, the previous incarnation of Drew McIntyre didn't really do that much for me, you know, and yeah, it was a bummer for some. He lost it, but he was the good guy and all that and didn't get it done. In this case, a loss doesn't really hurt, because it adds to what has been a tremendous character. I mean, the difference between sword carrying Drew McIntyre and the one who's cutting you with his words and on social media, to me, is night and day. I think he's really found himself. He always had talent, but he's really found himself with this persona. And he can only add to this. I mean, the persona started, if you really think about it, it started because he was almost right, right? Like, the best bad guys believe that they're right. And Drew was believing he was screwed in all these situations and unjustly, you know, was coming out with the short end of the stick. And it kept happening over and over again until he became bitter, which has turned him into this hilarious character that he's become. So it almost adds to him to lose again at Clash of the Castle after it happened before.
After his drama at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Freaking Drew, man. He'd just be having some bad luck from being a hater. We got Will Chisholm here who says, to be fair to Cody, he's a Dan of a Sting. Wait, what did we say? A Dan of a Sting? Am I reading that wrong?
No, you're not reading it.
Okay. He's a Dan of Sting, and Sting always got to turn on in WCW, LOL. All right, Will Chisholm, I'm a little confused right now. Sorry. I'll circle back to that. 1 second. We got Bunny Swag 69 who says, were you surprised by AJ attacking Cody? Although with this happening, maybe wishful thinking, but I do think AJ has a chance because they can put it back on Cody. So I was not surprised that he attacked AJ, that he attacked Cody Rhodes, because again, I felt like WWE telegraphed it the entire night. I feel like if they would have just said, oh, AJ Styles has an announcement to make, and said it like one time and didn't like have commentaries talking about it and all this stuff, and they could have still done like the LA Knight thing in the back, the Cody Rhodes thing in the back. They could have still done all of that. They didn't even have to be honest. They could have still done it, but they didn't even have to. I think had they not made it seem like such a big deal, then when AJ Styles started doing his promo, I think he would have fell for it a lot more.
Well, and I also think if AJ was genuinely retiring, we probably would have gotten an inkling of that before the show and a build up. You know, they would have wanted to actually send him off. So to me, the fact that it was sprung this way almost made... was that what Cody was alluding to in his tweet earlier today?
I didn't see his tweet earlier. What did he say?
Yeah, he tweeted out, you know, revel in it because you're never going to know.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
So I wonder if that was to promote SmackDown and then AJ saying it's the end, you know, like a quick condensed accelerated build for what's going on with that match. But yeah, it was very wink, you know, like AJ Styles is about to retire. But as far as them trading the belt off, I don't think we're seeing those two at SummerSlam, right? So if that were to happen, it would be Clash at the Castle, Money in the Bank. Is that what we got left before?
Yeah, Clash at the Castle, SummerSlam, Bash at Berlin, Then afterwards, what is it? Fucking Survivor Series. I don't even remember anymore.
I just don't think they're going to play hot potato with the championship this early into Cody Rhodes' reign after.
I forgot Money in the Bank. Money in the Bank's also coming up.
It's Clash of the Castle and then Money in the Bank. I think.
Yeah, I completely forgot about Money in the Bank.
So it would have to happen like that. It would have to happen with AJ taking it at Clash of the Castle and then trading back to it. I just think AJ Styles is losing to Cody Rhodes again. That's what I think is happening.
We got Lucky Charm here who says SmackDown feels dull right now because none of their champions have a legit program going, unlike Raw, where Sami, Damian, and Liv are involved with big stories. I do agree with this because for the rest of this show, like, there's a couple of things here and there, but I think, like, for example, like I mentioned earlier, we got two stories that are starting. One of them, which is Santos and Andrade, that's about to be something. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, that's about to start being something from the looks of it. But there really isn't that much really cooking or anything that's really like hot on SmackDown. Again, this is sort of the hottest thing they have going. And they're still doing sort of LA Knight coming after Logan Paul. But Logan Paul is only there sporadically. So you can only count on that really being a thing every now and then whenever Logan Paul shows up to SmackDown.
Yeah, I so miss Roman Reigns. When the crowd was saying it tonight, I'm like feeling it myself. We want Roman. And Paul Heyman is saying that too. Like, trust me, nobody wants Roman more than me. And you know, what do they say? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. You don't know.
See, I don't miss him yet, Robin.
Oh, I miss him so much. There's just an aura and a star power and a magnitude to Roman. So going back to I've told you this before, but in the pandemic is when I like just fell so much back in love with the business and everything through my kids. But at that same time, it was also Roman. Like that was, and he was the guy, and he was the guy really that entire period. I mean, you heard Heyman tonight say 4 years he's been doing this. That's a long freaking time for an extended storyline in professional wrestling. That's insane. And I get like maybe towards the very end of the title reign, they ran out of things to do. But I mean, Roman is a super duper mega star. The pop when he comes back is going to be Jenna freaking rational. It is going to be one of the coolest, sickest things we've ever heard. In fact, I think he might save Paul Heyman to get that pop. That might be the way this is all building and going. But other than the AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes moment, to me, that was my big takeaway from the show is because he was on SmackDown and he's been carried the company on his back for a long time. He made that the destination show. And boy, oh boy, do I miss my tribal chief.
See, the only reason I don't miss him just yet is because, like, to me, WrestleMania just happened. And I like when a lot of time goes by and we haven't seen somebody because, you know, it, like you said, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So the longer we wait, I feel like it's going to be like an even bigger pop the longer we wait. Like if he came back next month, I'm like, oh, that's too soon. Give me some time to really miss the guy. Like, yeah, right now, sure, of course, I would like him on the show. But give me a real honest to God chance to miss him. I think the thing right now that kind of sucks in pro wrestling across the board is that there's a lot of people that are out, like across the board. Like you got Rhea Ripley's not there, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, and then like even on the AEW side, you don't got Kenny Omega. Like there's a lot of people that are just not there right now. And so it does feel like that, you know, The Rock was here, now he's gone again, but he got us used to that. So it really feels like all of your big stars are sort of just not there.
No, I mean, it's spot on. I mean, excluding The Rock for a second, who's the biggest star perhaps in the history of the business, Roman and Rhea were the biggest current stars going. Seth was the heavyweight champion. So that's three of the top four or five right there immediately taken off. I mean, we just talked about it. The hottest angle right now is Liv and Dominic, which is a reference to Rhea Ripley in some ways, right? Like that doesn't work without Rhea Ripley and her absence. And they're doing the same thing on SmackDown, which is, to your point, long-term storytelling. You know, we may not get the immediate payoffs, but they are planting all these seeds. What Solo said to Paul Heyman when he said the we part, that's designed to make you go, who is we? Who is the we? Is he talking about Jacob Fatu? Is that the we that has Cody Rhodes under control? Or is The Rock actually pulling the strings from behind the scenes for this big operation that eventually is going to be, you know, put in front of our eyes? And all of this is also leading to this babyface Roman Reigns return that we're going to see, to that generational pop I was just talking about. So they are telling those stories. They are trying to involve these characters who are not on screen. And I think in the long run, that's going to make the product better. But yeah, in the short run, when you see Solo Sikoa instead of Roman Reigns, there's a difference there.
There definitely is a difference, and we'll get to that in a second. We got Brandon Rosen who says, so that means Drew loses the main event at Clash at the Castle 2 years in a row. Damn, I know that's part of the reason why I didn't want him to lose, but it just feels like the outcome that would make the most sense. We got Steven Marchulli here who says, if Drew isn't winning, does Cody versus AJ close the show? So I had said Drew versus Damian to still close out the show. I still think it can, because Damian Priest is supposed to be a babyface now, is he not?
Yeah, well, and Drew losing gets heat, plus CM Punk, you know,
right?
Might be very. There's a high likelihood he's involved in all that, which probably would have more juice than anything Cody and AJ can do at this point. Having seen the match already, I think unless there was like some actual stakes, unless Cody says, you know what, we're running it back, but your career is actually on the line, you know, like something like that, which that's a pretty good idea, by the way.
I know, I was gonna say.
That's the way this angle worked. Otherwise, I do think it's going to be Drew closing the show, because him losing is good for emotions, and it probably involves the thing with him and Punk, which has been the other thing that's been hot, and Punk's been off screen. When did he get hurt? He got hurt at the Rumble, right?
Yeah.
It was his triceps?
Yes.
Which is that's like the largest muscle in your arm. What's the Rumble in January, February, March, April?
So it's been 5 months.
Yeah. 5 months he's probably a 6 to 8 month recovery time, I would say. So we're probably getting close.
He had said that he thought that this one was going to get cured a lot faster than the last time that he tore it at AEW. And I'm trying to remember how long he was gone for in AEW. I think it was like 8-9 months or something like that. So if he wants to beat his recovery time, then it would have to be a lot sooner. And so, yeah, I am hoping that by SummerSlam he's good to go, because damn, like, it just feels like I would hate it if we didn't have that match at SummerSlam. Like, it feels like that really is one of their biggest stories, and he ain't even there.
Yeah, no, that's a headline-worthy, main event-worthy match.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's impressive that they could build toward it without him, you know, actively involved. And he started to do some physical stuff. You know, we've seen him start to do some physical stuff in the angles versus just the commentary. So that's a sign that he's healing up a little bit.
We got Dr. Wargard here who says, any chance Brock Lesnar performs for AEW? Well, I mean, there's always a chance, but right now he's obviously with WWE. We still don't know exactly when he's going to come back or if he's coming back to WWE at some point. I guess it's still just a wait and see type of situation.
Yeah, no, I think they would pay Brock Lesnar to do nothing before they would let him go to AEW. You know,
oh, yeah, that's true. That is so true.
I read, I think it was today, that he won't return until legal clears him to return. So obviously there's a lot behind the scenes with all that and a lot of baggage. I don't want to put anything on Brock, but they're going to be very careful, especially considering this seems to be accelerating very fast on the Vince McMahon side of things legally. But Brock is one of those, whatever you think about all that. And obviously there's, you know, it's hard to sum up in just a few seconds. Brock has always been one of those people where the second he shows up, everybody's into it, right? Like, no matter at any phase of his career, he has that instant credibility, that instant aura. So that would be one of those like blockbuster game changer moments if he were to show up in AEW all of a sudden. And as soon as he returns in WWE, same thing. So I guarantee you WWE, even if there's legal things to work through or a time period that they have to get past, assuming, hopefully, because I want to hope that Brock isn't, you know, involved in anything too bad there, they would pay him to sit on the sidelines before they would let him out of his contract and allow him to show up in AEW, because that's a legitimate difference making move. That's not like somebody who's past their prime showing. I mean, maybe he's, you know, at the end of his career in a sense, but you know what I mean? Like, I'll compare it to Edge for a second. Edge had a great career, but it felt like he was kind of done in WWE. Like, what else was he going to do in WWE when he went over to AEW? If that Brock Lesnar music were to hit on Dynamite, that's a huge win for AEW.
Right, right. It's just, it's really hard right now to say because, again, like you mentioned, with all, like, the legal stuff and everything, and if it becomes a situation where it's like, you know, Brock, you know, did all these things or all of this stuff, and let's say WWE is like, nah, we can't, you know, we're done, right? Like, this is going to end. We're not going to continue on with Brock Lesnar. Then that's a situation where I don't even see AEW touching them. I'm like, okay, if WWE won't touch you, then why would AEW? I don't know. Again, it really just depends on, like, all of the legal stuff, like you said, just like everything. And, you know, when it comes to this, when it comes to the Vince McMahon story, like you said, there's just so much happening each and every single day. And it seems like it's going in a direction that you're just like, oh my God, like, I think this is going to be like a shit show. Like, I like this, the recent stuff that came out with Vince McMahon, I'm like expecting the very worst to like go down to happen. Because I'm like looking at this and I'm like, they've got, from an outsider's perspective, it feels like they've got something on Vince, and it's just a matter of, you know, doing things the way that, you know, all of that stuff works. I don't know about the law and shit, but all the way, that's how it feels. That's how it feels, Robin.
Your house, you're in trouble. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
They're coming for Vince. There's no question. He's in big, big trouble. To your point, if there's any way for them to bring Brock Lesnar back and you know, distance it from this, they're going to do it because he's such a big star. If he's so involved that they can't do it,
right?
Tony Khan can't call WWE Harvey Weinstein and bring Brock Lesnar in the midst.
There you go. There you go. Exactly. Thank you so much for reminding me of that, because that would just be, you know, it would be hypocritical. You can't do that, right? You can't do that. All right. We got Brandon Rosen here who says, can we talk about how much of a lame duck champion they're making out of Bayley? Well, Brandon, you literally read my mind, because here on my notes, I literally wrote, Bayley is just left there after she's attacked. I hate how weak they are making her look. Literally, that's what I wrote down on my notes. So let's talk about this really quickly. We got Nia Jax, the queen of the ring. She calls out Bayley because that's the champion, and Nia Jax is going to be getting a title shot at SummerSlam. And instead, we see Bayley come out, but she is quickly attacked by Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, and she's just laying there while Piper and Chelsea confront Nia Jax, and Bayley, your champion, is just laying there on the mat. And then later on, we do see this tag team match with Naomi and Bayley versus Chelsea Green and Piper. And Chelsea and Piper go over, right? Because this was the match where my camera fell, by the way. So I was dealing with shit, so I didn't get to see this entire match. I was in the middle of a crisis.
Piper splashed on top of both of them and then picked Chelsea up and threw her on top of Naomi to get the pin.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, I was in my crisis at this moment. So with that being said, it's like, it's not looking good right now with what they're doing with Bayley. They haven't presented her as a strong champion. They still keep her in the background. Like, what is this? Like, she's your champion. And then they have her just quickly taken out. And then the whole time she's just laying there, like, she could have gotten back up way sooner than they had her get back up.
Nia Jax feels like the champion to me. Like, she feels the biggest on the show, that's for sure. And that's actually really, I mean, the Queen Nia thing, her obnoxious personality she's got going on right now, I think is perfect for her. And that's really working. But yeah, to your point, Bayley just kind of feels there, you know? And I hate to say that about somebody who's accomplished as much as she has and worked her tail off and finally had that moment at WrestleMania. And it's not the same as Cody, but, you know, like, in the sense of somebody who she did complete her story in a way. And then now it's like, what's next? And really they haven't given her anything. She hasn't done anything. And she just feels there. I almost forget she's the champion.
You know, I know.
And calls her out and then she shows up. You forget there is a champion, that the crown feels like the champion.
That sucks. And that's true, though, because that's how I feel, too. I'm like, oh, yeah, Bayley. Bayley's our champion. And it's like, come on now. Like, we got to do something more here. Like, I hate that. Like, I really, really do, because I felt like they did the same thing to Io. They did the exact same thing to Io. Like, she obviously, the damage control story with her and Bayley kept her on TV and at least kept something going. But how many matches did they actually really have her defend her championship against? Like, there really wasn't very much there. And so for that reason, like, I just hate that we're still seeing this happen. It's almost like if it's not a champion that they care about, don't expect anything, because nothing's really going to happen with them until they have a champion that they really care about. And right now, it doesn't really feel like they care about presenting Bayley as a proper champion. And that's very unfortunate.
Well, I mean, the problem is, I think Bayley, you know, winning the Rumble and then getting the WrestleMania, like, all that was nice and felt like earned. But were people clamoring for it otherwise, aside from...
I felt like the people were really invested in the match at WrestleMania. Like, she had one of the loudest pops, of course, besides Cody and stuff. But her match with Io, I remember getting, like, the loudest reactions, and the people really got behind Bayley.
I guess my question is, it's like one of those chicken or the egg things. Like, yes, they're not doing enough with her, and I agree with that. At the same time, generally... when you're like, when you got it going on, there's no denying. Like, LA Knight has just been showing up and people cheer him. Jey Uso just shows up and people cheer him. Liv Morgan's got this thing going on right now on Raw that's hotter than anything Bayley's had going on since WrestleMania. So is it because they just are incompetent and aren't finding things to do, or there's just not a natural thing to do with her? Because I guess retconning it would be like, what would we do? Like, what
I don't think they care enough to protect her as a champion. Because with Rhea Ripley, even though she also wasn't defending her title, they still protected her in the sense that she was still on TV. She was associating herself with some of the biggest acts. Like, she was doing stuff with Randy Orton. She was obviously everything with the Judgment Day. She was handling business deals. She was presented as a big deal. And it felt like, even though, again, we weren't seeing her wrestle that often, it at least still felt like they cared enough about her portrayal as champion to sort of protect the image, protect the aura of the champion. And it doesn't feel like they care to do that for Bayley.
Yeah, I just think Rhea just has more of a genuine aura, though. Like, I feel more electricity when she shows up on screen in any capacity. So part of that, like, is just innate. Part of that is it makes it easier for the creative team. It makes it easier for the people in charge. Not to say that, you know, Bayley isn't talented, not to say that Bayley hasn't had a great career. I mean, those are obvious things. And obviously, the fans felt invested, I think, more in her career. Like I said, I think that's where the cheering came from. It was like, finally, Bayley's getting this moment. But there weren't these individual instances before that people were saying it had to be Bayley here. It had to be. It felt like a culmination of, oh, she's due.
A respect, like, a respect of her body of work. Yeah. Yeah.
Not like that. She's it right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's the thing, that I do think that Bayley has what it takes, that if you just want to give her a good story, she can make it work. I mean, look at when she used to do the ding dong hello fig. Like, it was so outrageous, but it was fun and it worked for what Bayley was trying to do. Like, I feel like whatever they've had Bayley do, she finds a way at making it work. And right now what they need to do is give this story something interesting. I mean, look at how much people got into her with the damage control stuff. People cared about that story. People looked forward to that story. People talked about that story. So even though you're right, she didn't have the reactions like LA Knight or Liv Morgan or any of that, but I still think that people cared enough about the storyline between her and damage control.
Well, I also think part of that, we got so much of this goes back to WrestleMania, where I've used this comparison 100 times, but it's just apt. Avengers Endgame. Like, ever since then, they haven't had the same vibe and energy or whatever. They had to reset it a little bit. And I think they started to do that tonight with Bayley, to be fair. Like, there's a Nia Jax Bayley. They mixed Chelsea Green and Piper Niven into that story to maybe, you know, give it more legs. But that's the feud we're looking for. And I think Nia's got it right now. She's at the highest point of her entire career, I would say, at this very moment, coming off that Queen of the Ring win, and obviously getting the title shot at SummerSlam as a result. So I think this tonight perhaps was the start of them attempting to get Bayley involved in something that will, you know, eventually lead to her match with Nia Jax.
Right. And while it was an attempt, they made her look so weak. Like, come on, let's give Bayley a little boost here. We got Stephen Marchuli who says Cody still has big title matches with Cody, Roman, and some point Kevin Owens. Yeah, my friend, you're right on that. We got Richard JR here who says any chance Tama Tonga and Tongaloa are gonna attack Cody and AJ Styles, setting up a tag team match between AJ and Cody versus Tama and Tonga at WWE SummerSlam. Is that something you're interested in? Because it kind of feels like a little bit like a mixed match sort of pairing. Like, we don't really need it right now.
Yeah, that doesn't, not gonna, what did Hulk Hogan say? That doesn't work for me, brother.
Like, it wouldn't be awful. It just doesn't feel like the natural progression of each of their stories that, all of these guys are involved in. But thank you so much for the super chat. We got Tunde Yud here who says, with all expired contracts, who gets signed first? Well, who did we hear about today? We heard about Natty's contract, Ricochet's contract, Becky Lynch, of course, up tomorrow, June 1st. And then there was somebody else. Who am I missing? Chad Gable. Chad Gable was the other one.
Gable, that's a big... They're letting a lot of them come right to the buzzer. Was Ospreay alluding to Ricochet? Because he had already talked about him on Speed. It looked like he might have been alluding to him on social media earlier.
He loves Ricochet. Like, that was always one of his favorite wrestlers. So I feel like that's why he had been talking about Ricochet, or why he had been asked about Ricochet, because it's one of his favorites. But I look at it and I'm just like, truthfully, my opinion on this is Becky Lynch, to me, out of all of those names, is the only one that I would be like, holy shit, what a major effing win for AEW if they were to get Becky Lynch. Because Ricochet is great. He's awesome. But they have a bunch of guys in AEW that can work that style. They got younger guys that can work that style. They got, you know, your Will Ospreys, your Swerve Stricklands of the world, all these other people that can work similar styles or better or whatever, on par, however you see people, that I don't feel Ricochet is as needed in AEW. I feel like all the boxes that he checks have been checked on AEW already. And then Chad Gable is somebody that I think that if AEW were to bring him in, he's the guy that you can always count on to have some extra matches with. Like, if he was in AEW right now, he'd have a match against Swerve or something, you know, I could see him doing that. Natty, I think, would be cool, but I just see her so embedded into WWE that I can't see her in AEW. If she went to AEW, of course, it'd be great because she's known for working with talent and she's known for helping so many people get better. But again, I just see her so threaded within WWE that I don't see her with AEW.
Well, Becky's the biggest star.
Yes.
I mean, look, Becky is arguably the biggest star in the history of women's wrestling. I mean, if she's not one, she's two, she's three. I mean, she's the closest that the women have had to a Stone Cold Steve Austin. That the man movement at that point in time was huge. Oh,
she's a legitimate draw. Legitimate.
Yeah, no question. And she is at that phase where I do wonder what is left for her to do in WWE. I mean, she just had that recent title reign. Obviously, she had the stint in NXT. There's plenty of reason to believe she might just want a break. Seth's not on the road right now. Obviously, they have a kid and everything. So maybe she just is going to take some time off before she comes back. But yes, that would be the one that makes you go, versus Ricochet is unbelievably good in the ring, but he's not really advancing the storyline or I don't think hooking people from one show to the next, right?
Like, we're going to bring the needle mover. Is he a needle mover?
Exactly. And Chad Gable, I just don't see him leaving because WWE's invested a lot of screen.
They've actually been using him now. Back then when he was just Shorty G, I would have been like, yeah, I can see AEW taking him, all of that. But now not as much.
Yeah, they've put a lot of time into his storyline and this thing that happened with Otis and Sami Zayn and everything like that, his entire character change. So that would feel wasted for them to then just be like, oh, peace out, Chad Gable.
But I do think that AEW would be interested in all of these people.
Well, yeah, they should be.
All of them. Yeah.
They should be interested in all of them. And they're all very good at their respective thing. But Becky is the, you know, she's the one.
She's the one.
She's the one that's getting mainstream media coverage. Let's put it that way. Like, if Ricochet or Chad Gable go to AEW, wrestling fans are going to care. We'll talk about it. But if Becky Lynch goes to AEW, that's a legit news story.
I see Becky Lynch going to AEW a bigger deal than Mercedes going to AEW.
Well, yeah, I think so.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
So because not only is Becky, I think, in the grand scheme of things, probably an even bigger star than Mercedes, but Mercedes didn't leave WWE to go to AEW. She had been yes. out of WWE for a while. She was just kind of floating in no man's land for the most part. Becky was just the WWE champion. So for her to then go,
she was just on WrestleMania. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why to me, I see like if Becky were to go to AEW, like let's just say she just decided to do that, it would be like, holy shit, the game is changing. Oh, you know, all of that conversation. But again, like you mentioned with Mercedes, it was a situation of, you know, she had a falling out with Vince. Shit happened. We still don't even have all the details on that because they've decided not to speak on that. Cool. That's classy. But again, it was like, all right, she was doing stuff in New Japan. Awesome. That was a dream that she had had and she accomplished it. But let's be real. She wanted to make some real money. And there she is in AEW now being the highest paid woman in professional wrestling. So it is pretty interesting. But thank you so much for sending in this question. We got Paul Morales here, DWO member for 16 months. It says champions on Raw feel more important than SmackDown right now. It's more so that the scene in the title scene is more crowded on Raw. There's more potential challengers. There's more potential champions versus you don't really see that on SmackDown right now. Instead, you're like, oh, well, who's Cody going to fight next? Like who's out there for him?
And again, I sound like a broken record, but that was Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns elevated SmackDown by himself. You know, just the fact that he's on that brand, whether he was there or not in a given week, his presence was always felt. Hell, they're still trying to make his presence felt, even though we all know he is off the map and gone for a minute. And that's the difference, because all of that other talk could be erased if he showed up on screen. And you're right what you said earlier, Denise. I'm not saying they need to rush him back or anything because the long-term payoff for that will be greater. But on a week-by-week basis, that's the difference. That's what's changed.
Yeah, and so let's get to that because that's such an important part that we got to talk about for the show. And it's the Bloodline segment. And so we kind of got quite a bit here. But basically the whole gist of this is that Paul Heyman is wanting to convince Kevin Owens to stop calling out Solo Sikoa because he fears that they are going to hurt Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens does not trust nor buy anything that Paul Heyman is saying. And Paul Heyman goes crazy, Robin. He's like so freaking frustrated, right? But this is great because why should Kevin Owens trust Paul Heyman? Paul Heyman's not a trustworthy guy. And history has shown that over and over again. And so we sort of get that whole, you know, little drama between Kevin Owens and Paul Heyman. This all leads to we get this tag team match. But before this, we see Tama Tonga and Tongaloa, they go out there with Solo Sikoa and they confront Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens has backup in the Street Profits. And then finally, we get the actual tag team match with Tama Tonga, Tongaloa versus the Street Profits there. So that's basically what we got here with the Bloodline. And we also, once again, another week of We Want Roman Chance once again. I don't know how I'm feeling about this right now because I really liked the Kevin Owens, Paul Heyman stuff. That was the best part to me. And everything else, like the match, the tag team match, wasn't spectacular. Tama Tonga and Tongaloa, they get the win, but it wasn't a spectacular match.
No, they're I like the music that Tama Tonga has, but they feel like side characters, right? Let's be real about it. I think Fatu has that electrifying potential. If anybody has seen his highlights and his work, of course. But this is all about the build. This is all, you know, Kevin Owens, I think, is being brought in because he can make anything work. You know, we've seen that over and over again. He's one of their, like, old reliables. You can bring KO in. He can cut a promo. He can put on a good match. He can sell it in the meantime. He can get the fans invested. He can make it work as they, you know, the stopgap to where they're really going. But where they're really going is Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman has been the figure here in all of this. He's intimidated by Solo. He doesn't know what's going on with Solo. When the remember a few weeks back when they said, who is the tribal chief, and it doesn't get answered. He says to Solo, you know, who is this we you're talking about? After what was the last event? Was it Backlash? It was Backlash, right? Where at the end he didn't know what to do at the end of that match. Solo had that hug pull in and said, you're the wise man. Like, all of this is building towards Paul Heyman being kicked out of this version of the Bloodline, I believe. And I'm not so sure it's not Roman who saves him when that happens. I'm not so sure it's not The Rock who's pulling the strings on that side to set up that Rock, Solo, Tama, and whoever, you know, else is in the Bloodline versus Roman, the Usos reuniting, maybe even Sammy getting involved on that side of things. Like, it's always felt like we're building towards that, you know, Bloodline Civil War. And Paul Heyman right now is the central figure in making all this work and selling it and telling the story through his expressions and acting. Really,
Paul Heyman is the one that's making me be more terrified of the Bloodline than I am of the actual Bloodline. Because I'm like, oh, if Paul Heyman is telling me that they're bringing in these dangerous men, that they're going to do these awful things to Kevin Owens, he is selling the Bloodline more than the new Bloodline is selling the new Bloodline. So yeah, Paul Heyman has been very, very pivotal in this story, even more so now. All right, so that was the Bloodline portion that we got. I want to go ahead and talk about another thing that we had on the show today, and it was Andrade versus Apollo Crews. And it wasn't necessarily this match itself that was the thing to talk about. The thing to talk about is that Garza looks like he was trying to recruit Andrade to join him and Santos Escobar. And instead, it looks like Andrade did not give two shits about wanting to do any of that. And so he just walks right past them, completely disrespecting them. And Santos Escobar is pissed. He's pissed at Andrade and he's pissed at Angel Garza. Angel tries to confront him backstage, but instead he gets attacked by Apollo Crews because Apollo Crews is mad that he got involved in his match. But the big thing here is that we are looking like we're going to get a program between Andrade and Santos Escobar. And I'm here for this. I want to see this story. Are you kidding me? I feel like them two working with each other, if they're given the proper time to wrestle, the proper stories, if they give them the proper everything, this could be something really good on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this character has really worked well for Santos Escobar, but he hasn't had much to sink his teeth into in a little while, you know, post Rey and all that.
Rey Mysterio getting hurt also put a little bit of a ding on that.
Yeah, for sure. And Andrade, okay, he came back to WWE, so what? You know, like, now he has a purpose, and I think you're spot on. I think this is a good fit for both guys at this point where they're at and should really work as a result.
We got Nothing But Wrestling here, who sends in a super chat. Thank you so much. Who says, which championship do you each think is most likely to change hands at SummerSlam this year, if any? I'm going to say the World's Heavyweight Championship for sure. And I'm a little bit torn on Bayley's title. I think that's a possibility too. It depends on how Liv's reign is going by the time we get there. And do you have anything else? I'm trying to think if there's anybody else.
Logan Paul for the US title.
Yes, there you go. Yes.
Luther is beating Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight title at SummerSlam. And Nia Jax is beating Bayley for her championship at SummerSlam.
Love it. All right. Thank you so much to Nothing But Wrestling for that. All right. So let's go ahead and get into the last and final thing that we got to talk about in regards to SmackDown. And that is really the Tommaso Ciampa versus Austin Theory match. But the thing to talk about this is the big takeaway was that Austin Theory lost due to a distraction. He was distracting himself with Grayson Waller because Grayson Waller was telling commentary that he was essentially the reason that Austin Theory was having any sort of rise on the show. And so now it looks like there's that little rift there between Grayson and Theory. Do you think it's too soon, or do you think it was the time to do this now?
You know, it feels about right. It feels about, and Grayson Waller's also correct. I mean, I think I got more into Austin Theory because of Grayson Waller. Feels like a better Austin Theory to me. But Austin Theory is really good in the ring. He's adding more to his repertoire all the time. So I think because of their time together and the way that they planted that seed right there, I think it's about right. Like, where else were they going in their current, you know, they got the titles, they've done it all. It feels like the right move for both of them at this moment.
I think so too, but you're right though. Like, I do think that Grayson Waller has sort of been the new Austin Theory, right? Like, they're so similar in their personalities that I'm looking at this and I'm like, well, is now really the time to do this? Or should they keep it going and try to get Austin Theory a little bit more popular? Because I feel like Grayson Waller on his own, he can get some popularity. Versus Austin Theory, there's that struggle. And so I'm like not really too sure. I don't know if this feud is going to help him or if it's going to make things worse for Austin Theory.
Well, it's kind of a sink or swim moment, right?
Yes.
Like, he had his chance already. Like, they, Money in the Bank, all that stuff. He had an opportunity, didn't really work for either of us, I think, if we're being frank, right? This Austin Theory, Grayson Waller pairing reinvigorated him in a sense. So if it's ever going to work for him, I think it will be opposite Grayson Waller, because there's a natural story there. There's a reason for people to care about the Austin Theory side of things. It always helps when there's some truth involved, and I think there is some truth to what Grayson Waller said. So this is when we're going to see where Austin Theory has gotten from when we said it wasn't really working to now when it was kind of working with Grayson Waller, and we'll find out a lot about Austin Theory's future, I think, in this future.
Yes, and whoever comes out the strongest from this feud, I think needs to be LA Knight's first challenger when he becomes U.S., after he becomes U.S. title, U.S. champion.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be like a fun story to tell.
And they're perfect characters to go up.
Yes.
And by the way, LA Knight roasted Carmelo Hayes tonight.
Oh, right? My God. Robin, I felt so bad during that segment. I was like, no, Carmelo, no, no. So basically in this backstage segment, you guys kind of need to see this. Find the clip on Twitter. It's out there. It was just so unfortunate. Carmelo Hayes comes up and he confronts LA Knight, right? And he mentioned something of like, he wants to say, why would Logan Paul want to wrestle you? Something like that. Mm-hmm. But instead he says, why would LA Knight want to wrestle you? So I'm like, I'm just thinking to myself, no, why? Why'd you mess up the names? So he basically just messed up the names, guys. And it got a little awkward because you were sort of wondering if LA Knight was going to just like ignore that. But he did not. He did not. And then like he burns them right back, basically telling them that like, get the names right. And that was really good. Like LA Knight was really strong in this segment. I was pretty impressed by that, but I felt so bad for Carmelo Hayes. Like I just had like this look, like I just felt disappointment.
Yeah, no, I that's the worst thing to feel, right? Like I'm not even mad. I'm disappointed. And it wasn't a good look for Carmelo for two reasons. One, he obviously flubbed. It happens, but
yeah.
It was so strong by LA Knight, which you can't blame him for. He saw the opportunity, hit him. And then if you recall, when Carmelo walked away, LA put a little exclamation point on, was like, trash, you know, like right after. So that was a real strong promo for LA Knight and did some damage to Carmelo, considering how, you know, he was drafted, what, second overall? And that didn't do him any favors.
No, it didn't. And it happens. I know it happens, but damn, I just felt so bad for Carmelo. I was like, why is this happening? But there you go. That was an unfortunate moment, but he'll bounce back. It's not that big of a deal. We'll forget about it by next week. So that's good. But did we cover everything? We did. That was pretty much everything that we got. Did I talk about Naomi and Bayley? Oh, the QR codes. Yes. So I actually, my friend sent me a link from the QR code stuff, and I saw that it's like this circle with all of these links that you click on, and what is it, Reciper or something?
There's a bunch of links, but the two things that I think got the most traction were, one, there's like a Blair Witch style, like Bigfoot style sighting of what I think is Uncle Howdy.
And okay.
Like, they're looking across like a lake, and they're going like, what is that? Who is there? Something moving? And then like, you get a quick glance. And then it fades
it's
out.
This is what it was, right?
Yep.
Recapulation.
And then there's another one that is that actually.
Which one were you talking about right now? Which one did you click on?
I don't. You know, I didn't have time to click through. Okay. I saw it on Twitter.
Okay.
But my son.
There's so many.
The other thing is there was a note that says you'll find out tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you guys go. You guys can check that out at some point whenever you guys want. Recapitulation. I am all of us. That's the latest with the QR codes. How much longer do you think it's going to be till we actually see them?
Like tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
One of those links has a note that says you'll either
What's
find
happening
out
tomorrow?
You'll find out more tomorrow. There's a piece of paper with that written on it.
They're going to be on Collision?
Maybe a social. I mean, they've done the Twitter. I mean, so much of this has been social media.
Yeah, yeah.
WWE. So
I haven't been keeping up with anything from the QR codes. Like, I see everybody talking it on social media, and it's just that thing where I'm like, I'll let social media tell me, you know, and I'm just gonna wait until the actual debut and everything happens. But there you go. Now we got everything from SmackDown here today. I want to thank you guys so much each and every single week for coming through and checking out all of the podcasts. I'm sorry for being a little blue today, but anyways, please check out the stuff here on the channel, guys. I'm always happy to be here, always happy to talk some pro wrestling with all of you guys. So thank you very much. I will be back tomorrow for AEW Collision. If you guys enjoyed this show, Robin and I are here each and every single Friday chatting SmackDown. Robin, what do you got going on?
Yeah, I've been on here long enough. Click the links below. Find me everywhere, and I'll be back next Friday with Denise.
I won't be blue next week. Hopefully not.
Well, you won't break your camera again.
Oh, my God. You know what I felt like doing, Robin? I was so upset. I wanted to throw the remaining pieces that I had on my hand just against the wall. Oh, I was so pissed, Robin. I just wanted to, like, you know?
I've been there. Like, I know the feeling that you felt. Like,
I feel anger right now. I feel anger. I feel like I just want to punch something, you know? That's how upset I am.
Well, you can't actually punch the camera.
I know. I feel like smashing it. I really do. Like, I'm like, it's broken already. I might as well smash it. But then part of me is like, well, what if it's not as fucked up as it is and you fuck it up more?
It's broken beyond repair. Like, any, like, it won't turn on. It won't.
It's weird because, like, the body turns on and stuff. I haven't looked at it too much because SmackDown was going on. I didn't have enough time. But the body's like, it was basically what happened. It was in between the body and the lens. So had it just been the lens that broke, great. I would have bought a whole new lens. But it's kind of a little bit of the body, and then the lens is, like, completely fucked up. Like, I don't know what happened there. It's fucked up.
Sorry.
I know. So I'm just like, oh, I'm so mad. Whatever. I'm gonna go cry.
It looks like one of those QR codes.
I know. It's so disappointing. Brandon Rosen, thank you so much for the super chat saying super kick party. Thank you so much. Alrighty, everyone. That's a wrap for this episode. Thank you guys so much for watching. I'll catch you on the next one. Bye, everyone.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Grandma's place always smells like pine. She said, get out the chat room and clean mine.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands.
And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.